Hi, this is Bill Teeple and Alan Cobb and Donna Colby, broadcasting from Icon Gallery in the Cultural District of Fairfield, Iowa, and this is Icon Art Radio. Today, our guest is Randy West, and we're so happy to have him here. I see him flit by every now and then, and that's about as much as I ever see of him. So to have him actually here in the gallery is so exciting. He, of course, is the father and the executive director. Is that what you are?
I'm the executive director of the Fairfield Arts and Convention Center and the artistic director of the Stephen Sondheim Center for the Performing Arts. So I've got more titles than anybody should have.
There you are. But mainly he's the force behind all of the musical theater activities, and also you try to direct the whole thing at the same time. That must be something. In any case, this weekend he's opening Godspell at the Sondheim Theater, and we're going to ask him a little bit about that, and we're going to ask him about everything that he does. We'll try to go everywhere. So tell us a little bit about Godspell.
Well, Godspell ends the spring season for us that we opened with Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. We wanted to do a Sondheim piece to open because obviously we're named for him. And we will continue to, on and off, do Sondheim musicals, but it's obviously not the only thing we're going to do. But Forum is probably one of the most accessible Sondheim musicals. And when we found out that we could get Richard Kind, who's never played Pseudolus, to come in and play the lead, it was just a done deal. And then we were going to do another Sondheim musical in a concert version in the middle of the spring. And then the director, Gordon Greenberg, who I'd hired to direct that concert, called me and said that he'd just done this really exciting and in his term exceptional production of a brand new musical called Edges that had performed at the Albany, which is an upstate New York League of Regional Theaters theater, very august professional theater, and that he put together a cast of four and the composer was involved, and that there was a possibility he could jump that whole show over to the Sondheim Center. And much as he said, I'll be happy to come do company if you want, but I'm telling you, this show it's pretty unique, and you could be the second theater to get it, and you could get it before it goes into New York. And so we spent about a week kind of deciding, you know, did we want to go with what we committed to? And then we decided that, you know, sometimes you just have to, if an opportunity is staring you right in the face, you should take it. And so we brought Edges here with the original upstate New York cast and the composer, and their drummer, and then our resident musical director, Justin Hill, played the third part in the band, which was finally good for me because Justin's 27, and it was good for him to finally be the oldest person in something, because both the composer was 24 and the drummer was 22. But Edges was a song cycle for four singers about kind of being post-college and kind of in that early 20s period. And I think most of us that saw it that were just, oh, I'm 53. I mean, most of us could appreciate that it was well-crafted, it was really well-sung. It was also that this really talented Justin Paul, who wrote the score and was playing for us, is writing in a new voice. And it's a little like, I assume, in art. Anytime you find somebody that can find something that is in their own voice, that's pretty exciting because there's a lot of really good things that sound like other things. And he really kind of had a young voice that was unique. And those of us that were a little older could go and see it and really enjoy it. But I can tell you, the people that went to see it that were kind of 14 to 28 were massively moved. I mean, they just came out, many of them came back two and three times. And for me, somebody who creates a lot of musical theater, when musical theater can transcend being dialogue and music and lyrics and actually touch people emotionally, that's really exciting for me. And I saw Edges do that. Then we wanted to end the season with something. See, we didn't know we were going to have Edges. We thought we were going to have company. So we picked Godspell because we wanted to do something that really featured a youth energy. I've directed, before we started the Sondheim Center, I directed a couple of last two musicals for the Old Creamery, which is a great theater up in the Amanas. And there's only three professional theaters right now in Iowa. And one is in Iowa City, and that's the Riverside Theater Company. And they do really nice small 99-seat theater during the year, and then they do a big Shakespeare festival during the summer, and then the Old Creamery and the Amanas, they go pretty much all summer, all year round, but the beginning of the year, kind of January until now, they do a professional children's tour that goes all over Iowa, and they're about to open their new season in a couple of weeks, I think. They're very fine theater, but they're really specialized in farce, and they do maybe a small musical once a year. Well, I did two musicals for them over the last couple of years, and they're really kind of focused in their audience that they're appealing for, and that they would tell you this, is largely older. Mm-hmm. And I felt that there wasn't anybody in Iowa that was really going for younger people, that there wasn't anybody that was trying to show high school students and college students that, you know, musical theater is an exciting, relevant art form. And so I picked Godspell because, A, I thought we could get to high schools and we could get to colleges, and we could also get to youth groups to just kind of... Godspell's an interesting blend in that you can take it solely as a musical theater experience, and it works. I mean, it's fun, and it's funny, and it's moving. Or if you want to add on taking it as a religious experience, it's also fine for that. It's funny, I directed a couple of times, I've done JC Superstar, which was written to try to be the perfect Christian Jewish musical. So it's got elements of Christianity in it and elements of Judaism, and it ends up offending everybody to some extent, because the Christians say, well, that's not right, and the Jewish people say, well, that's not right. Whereas in something like Godspell, somebody who's Jewish can come and see it as a theater piece and say, I don't particularly believe that, but I enjoy it as a theater piece. And so Godspell is pretty, it's based on the book of St. Matthew, and some of the lyrics come from an old Methodist hymnal, but it really is a pretty solid interpretation where most people, certainly everybody can get it on a theatrical level, and some people will appreciate it on a religious level. And actually, Godspell was the first national tour I ever went on in 1970. Oh boy, this will date me. 1977, I did a national tour, and back then, Godspell was controversial. Now, it really isn't now, because it's really become very accepted. I mean, many churches do Godspell numbers in their church services now, but back then, well, the original Godspell production in New York had Jesus and the apostles dressed up as clowns, and they did it kind of in a clown environment. When we first crafted Godspell, which still goes through the production that we're doing here, I set the environment as being more childlike. Rather than being clowns, I believe some of the best times that Jesus had on the planet was when he was able to be around children. So we approach it being childlike, not childish. And so we still have wild colors and we still have fun. But when we would get to a town and there would be people protesting Godspell because we were on a tour, we would go out and we would say, why are you protesting this? And they would say, well, it's sacrilegious. And we would say, well, have you seen it? And they said, no, but we've heard all about it. And we would literally give them free tickets. And we would say, go in, see the show. As soon as we're done, we'll come out and sit on the apron. And you tell us anything about it that you found offensive. And we'll dialogue about it and see if we can, you know, change it. And most of the time, they would come in and see it. And we would do Godspell. And at the end of it, we would come out and sit down. And they would say, well, it really isn't sacrilegious. And we said, yeah, it's because the idea of Jesus and a group of people going singing and dancing and whatever, you know, to some people is a little offsetting. And I think they have to realize that we approach it with a respect that is never, that we're never trying to, we're having fun with it. We're not making fun of it, if that makes sense.
Well, and it works too. When you see it, it works to just open up your heart and faith and everything, no matter what your position is in terms of spirituality, it just opens you up in that way that makes everybody feel like, wow, this was a worthwhile experience, and I feel like hugging everybody afterwards.
You know? Well, you know, it's funny. Stephen Schwartz wrote this originally. Stephen Schwartz, who now has Wicked, which is the mega musical, this was the first thing he and a dear friend of his wrote this in college, and then it developed in workshops out of that. But he's actually said over the years that people need to understand what Godspell is, because what they did is they knew that they had a certain amount of kind of translation of Jesus' dialogue from the book of St. Matthew's, and then Matthew, and then they had a certain amount of parables that they knew this was the heart of the parable. And then what they did is they did improvisation around the parables, that they created things that in 1969 was relevant to those parables. And what Stephen Schwartz allows you to do in Godspell now is cut it back to what they started with. So you can cut it back to the Jesus dialogue and the through line of the parables, and then you can create relevant improvisation to today. And so the gimmick, if there is one to Godspell, that makes it still work in 2008 is that the way we're trying to create this is we would like the audience to dispel their disbelief and not think about the fact that we've been rehearsing since April 1st, but think about the fact that on that night we're making that show up right there for them. And so it becomes a very relevant telling of the story. All the ad-libs are about things that are in the movies now or on television now. So we're not doing 1969. And they never intended you for it. They never intended it to be something that was outdated. They intended it to be something that was relevant and new. So that's a fun thing about Godspell when we talk about, we counted, well, now I did do a lot of touring shows. So I taught a lot of shows that went out on the road for 9 months doing Godspell, and I started immediately teaching another show that went on the road for Godspell. But we counted up, and we think that over the years I've been responsible for about 3,000 performances of Godspell.
Wow.
And people say, how can you do that? And I said, well, part of it is because everyone is a little different. You know, it's the time that you're doing it in and the people that you get to work with.
Well, that's exciting. It makes me want to go because I was feeling like it could be kind of dated. But now you've got me interested in seeing it, that it's something that's alive and a living musical for now. That's good.
Well, and it's like the Mikado, too, where it has those ad-lib lines, and every time you always want to see, it's like a curiosity thing, is you always want to see, what are they going to do with those lines, you know?
And one of the reasons I picked this is that, you know, it's interesting. We have a New York casting director that we work with to bring in our Broadway talent, and when I said that I was the new Godspell in this slot, he goes, well, you know, they're accepting Godspell submissions right now, and that there's going to be a full-on brand new revival of Godspell in New York in August. Hmm. And they're casting it right now. Well, I said, I did know that, and one of the reasons we're doing it now is that if that's a success, potentially they could pull the rights for Godspell, and because if it's going to tour, they won't let people do it to protect that company to be able to send them out and perform professionally. So this was a slot to get to be able to do it. But when I made the decision to do it, I decided that I didn't want to do retrofit Randy. That I didn't want to do anything necessarily that I'd done before. And so I went to Bob Horline, who is a dear friend of all of yours here and has helped me in many of the things that we've done. Bob has a vision for Fairfield that he really would like to see creative artists cross over, find ways that what they're doing in their own art form can cross over into musical theater. And he's brought in many artists to not only paint, but conceive and build. And Alan Cobb, who's quietly sitting off in the corner, has helped with, we actually have a pretty substantial magical illusion in the show that comes from when Bob Horline was the coordinator of magic for Doug Henning. And also, as you well know, Alan is, you know, a premier sound designer, that he does things with sound that others of us do with singing and dancing or painting, and Alan has designed the sound design for Godspell. But when we first went there, I said, I don't want this to sound like anybody else's Godspell. I don't want it to look like anybody else's Godspell. And I went to Justin Hill, who's my residential musical director, who everybody we bring into town is taken with Justin. I mean, he literally, bless his heart, you know, he's out and out full-bred Iowan. But not that that's a bad thing, but people see his work and go, where did you get him? And I said, 40 miles that way. And it's kind of amazing that here's this kid with just this, he's done all our arranging, all our orchestration, and he's just a massively talented young person. And so I went to Bob and I said, I don't want it to look like any Godspell. I said, I talked to him about how I wanted to feel and what I wanted to be able to do. And then Bob came back and he said, Monet. And I said, what? He said, what if the whole thing looked like a Monet painting? And I said, that's kind of interesting. And so the whole thing starts in kind of blocky things, and then it goes from being blocky to three different parks, and everything is designed two-dimensionally. Things slide on and fly in and fly out.
Wow.
But it's very three-dimensionally painted in a Monet style. And then Alan, as I said, has done this. We have this sound design that's completely unique, we think, to our Godspell. And then I went to Justin and I said, you know, what can we do to pump 2008 energy into these songs? And so we took one song and we made it. I said, if you'll write funk, I'll choreograph hip hop. And so it was two white boys going where two white boys might not go before. And we actually achieved a number that is stylistically very, well, the cast really likes it. We took another number and we have a swing number that you traditionally is kind of a hoedown number. We took it into, you know, kind of Benny Goodman sing, sing, sing. And we have another song that is kind of a square. Yun, da-da, da-da. And I said, can't we do that? So we have a big Latin jazz number. So we've really, and I really wanted it to be eclectic. I mean, I didn't want it to sound pop rocky in the 60s. I wanted it to sound eclectic in 2008. And I really wanted to have a show that really had a physical presence. And some of the people that have seen things that I've done in Iowa. Now, if you'd seen things I'd done in California, it would be a little different. But in Iowa, you know, they're all saying, you've never done anything that was this physical. And I said, well, you know, Forum is really a comedy with some musical numbers. And I said, Godspell, and that's the other thing, the way we do this, there's 16 people in this company, and they walk down the aisles when we start, and they go for an hour and 45 minutes, and we're done. So we don't do it with an intermission. So those people never leave. You watch them do an hour and 45 minutes of this high energy show and then be done. And that works for this, because you get, hopefully by the end of it, you feel, how did they do that? I mean, how did they sustain that for that amount of time? So that's all. And we're doing a big lighting design. It's the first time we've done computer controlled lighting in the Sondheim Center. It's the first time we're doing a computer controlled gel changing, so lights will be changing. And so we kind of kept that energy of the rock concert look. But we're really, I think Alan would say, as he sits over there quietly, that we're really kind of ringing the theater out at a new level with this, to really see what we can do and kind of let the audience know that it's a really fun kind of creative space. And then this cast of 16, so there's a performer from California, there's one from North Carolina, there's one from Chicago, a lot from the Midwest, and basically our youngest performer she comes out of our Generation Now show choir, which we have a show choir of 13 to 18 year olds, and Shannon Cochran is an exceptional 14 year old singer. And I went into the audition saying, if we found somebody that was exceptional, I'd love to have somebody younger. I'd love to just kind of break that mold. So we basically go from 14 to 27, and then she'll kill me for saying this, and then Tina Nelson, who I love to death, who was in her early 30s. But Tina is blessed with essence of youthfulness, but you've got Tina, who's early 30s, but the whole bulk of the cast is really kind of 19 to 25-ish, and that's another kind of fun energy thing that we haven't done before.
Well, God, this is exciting.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, let me just say that for those who just tuned in, that we're interviewing, this is Icon Art Radio, and we're interviewing Randy West of the Sondheim Theater about the upcoming performance of Godspell. And I can't wait for it to open. I think everyone needs to see this.
It's selling. It's a thrill, because you worry about, you know, what does familiarity breed? And apparently it breeds warmth, because a lot of people have said, you know, I like Godspell. I'm interested to see what you'll do with it. And now there's kind of this whole buzz about, you know, a retrofit or a reconceive of Godspell. And a lot of people are really kind of excited about seeing it as if it were created this night in 2000. And, you know, Godspell is also a show that we play a section of it, fourth wall, which means when we go to the Last Supper, the very ending segment is just between the performers, but the whole first hour and 10 minutes is complete. I mean, we sing to the audience, we go in the audience, we sit in the audience. I mean, it's really, it really, the audience is the other apostle throughout most of the show. So we try to keep that, you know, so that they feel like they're really involved in what we're doing.
Well, I have my ticket for one show of it. I maybe better go get my ticket for seeing it a second time.
Oh, bless you, my child.
Before they're sold out. When shows are good, I mean, it's just painful for me not to see it a second time.
Thank
because
you.
The first time you're kind of paying attention to the story and the newness of it, and the second time you sink into the subtleties and you really notice so much more. So
that's, you know, even though I'm trying to not do things the way I've done them in the past, when I was a musical theater professor way back when, and I actually used to use Godspell as an example of teaching students about the structure of musical theater, because there really is a purpose for most of it. And so it is a good piece for me to be able to translate to performers, you know, emotionally, where are we and where are we going and how does this pay off? I shouldn't really tell this, but Godspell, you know, it's got a huge amount of waka waka waka, and it's big and it's funny and it's very physical, and it needs to be timed almost like this. And then all of a sudden you have these little moments where the foreshadowing of the Judas thing happens and the foreshadowing of the Judas thing happens, and mostly the apostles don't know what that means, but Jesus does, and a large portion of what Alan is helping us with is with the foreshadowing of the Judas coming more and more dominant. And then the Last Supper part of Godspell is where we stop being theatrical. I mean, you play the Last Supper. People ask, how could you do, and I performed in Godspell forever. I was an apostle, then I was Judas, then I did 7 years as Jesus in looking more today like Buddha, but back then I passed for Jesus. And the Last Supper segment is real. I mean, it's literally these people saying goodbye to this Jesus character on a where I basically tell them, I don't want you to act, I want you to play it absolutely real. I don't want you to don't ever get outside your body and think, what if I do this, they'll feel that. I said, that's phony and that's indicating and it's horrible. So I had not staged that until last night. And Ryan Gaffney, who is a dear friend of mine and is playing Jesus, he played Hero in Forum. I brought Ryan from the old Creamery here. And I sat down with my staff and I said, I don't do a lot of acting games, but we're going to do this tonight. And so Ryan and I started at yesterday afternoon's rehearsal. We were doing a dance rehearsal, and Ryan was not quite on. And I kept saying, you know, Ryan, you know, are you, he's also my dance captain, so he helps me clean my dances. And I said, you know, are you up too late? You know, you gotta make a commitment to this. And then that had escalated by the evening rehearsal to him blowing lines. And I said, Ryan, you're better than this. And as we were working, the tension built and the tension built and the tension built. And then finally I said to the cast, I said, take 5 minutes, you with me. And I walked Ryan out of the theater and I said, go wait in my office. And I walked back in the theater and I said, Ryan has decided to not continue with the show. And I need to call LA and try to find one of my Jesuses and get him on a plane out here tomorrow. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I went back to my office and I waited for 2 or 3 minutes. Then I came back and said that I found another Jesus. I don't know when he's going to arrive. He'll get here sometime tomorrow. We'll put him in tomorrow night. And one of the cast said, well, what do you do tonight? I said, well, if it's physical, I'll fill in tonight. And you could see that there were just kind of little tears kind of going, and this great intensity. And I said, well, you guys all know how much I care about Ryan. This is not an easy decision for me, but I guess it's a decision that we have to go with. And I stopped and then I said, none of this is true. This is just getting you to be able to feel like what it is to, and I had 6 females just, you'd think it was the wailing wall at that point. So I had to let them just cry for 15 minutes to just get it out. And then I could channel that. I could say, and I had 2 or 3 people come over and forcibly punch me in the arm. But then I said, that's what this moment is about. You can't act. You've got to go to that place where I took you and just play what you, and Alan was there. I did it one time last night and they absolutely got it. And I had done in past productions, I'd tried to intellectually coach them there and say, this is where you have to go. And it took me 2 hours. And once you start indicating, or once you start getting outside your body to get them internal again, is a big stretch. And by the end of the evening, excuse me, there wasn't a single member of the company who didn't get why we did that. But there was a whole lot of people in the company who still wanted to smack me for making them go through it. So that was our big theatrical adventure last night.
Psychodrama at the Sondheim. Well, it was very effective. It really worked.
Alan was there, and it was one of those things that, and one of the reasons, the band sings on the Willows. So they don't have to sing, the cast, when they were saying goodbye, they don't have to sing, they don't have to dance, they don't have to do a single bit of dialogue. All they have to do is believably say goodbye to this person that's come to mean so much to them. And that's the emotional heart of Godspell. That's how you can be, that's how you can have so much fun, and you can have, you can almost be frantic and playful, and yet it pays off because what part of what you're doing is getting to really know and like these people. And then when you see that they have to process through this very emotional event. And so it really, for me, it balances the whole show so that then you have a center that you didn't spend the whole, it's not No No Nanette, it's not, there is something that balances that out. So there is a balancing of fun and funny and a healthy emotional center, I think.
Let's give the dates.
Yes, you have us all excited to go. And I think everyone out there listening should get a ticket and come to this thing. So let's again go over when it's opening this Friday, the 18th. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There'll be some matinees.
There's a matinee. So we do Friday night. We do two shows on Saturday at 2 and 7:30. And then we do a matinee on Sunday at 2. And then the next two weekends were Thursday, Friday, two shows on Saturday and a Sunday matinee. And Thursday, Friday, two shows on Saturday and a Sunday matinee.
Okay.
And if somebody wants to call to just check dates, it's just 472-ARTS.
472-ARTS. And
A-R-T-S.
Tickets are available at the box office?
You can buy an hour before, or our box office is open from noon to 6, Monday through Friday, and an hour before showtime.
Thank you again, Randy. This has been great.
Oh, and I should just say that many of you will see it's a nice mixture of Midwest talent and Fairfield talent. So Fairfield, for a town of 10,000, is always well represented in everything we do, because we might be a town of 10,000, but we're a town of 10,000 really talented people.
I know that.
And they all have their fans. I am a great fan of Tina Nelson from years back, and so I always go to anything Tina was in, just because she is just has wonderful stage presence.
A whole group of wonderful Fairfield people. Emily Roth, if any of you know Emily Roth, is wonderful in this too.
Listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.